Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC works to promote health, prevent disease, injury, and disability, and prepare for new and emerging health threats. The CDC seeks to accomplish this by working with partners throughout the nation and the world to monitor health, detect and investigate health problems, conduct research to enhance prevention, develop and advocate sound public health policies, implement prevention strategies, promote healthy behaviors, foster safe and healthful environments, and provide leadership and training. The CDC publishes a vast array of recommendations and guidelines related to infection prevention and control, as well as most other issues related to disease and healthcare. To guide IPs and other healthcare professionals who need to implement their recommendations, the CDC's Healthcare Infection Control Practices Advisory Committee, HICPAC, has developed a system of categorization for each recommendation based on existing scientific data, theoretical rationale, applicability, and sometimes economic impact. The CDC/HICPAC recommendation categories are shown in Exhibit 1-7. Exhibit 1-7, CDC/HICPAC recommendation categories. There are times when an IP may come across something included in the guidelines that is categorized as no recommendation. This refers to an as-yet unresolved issue and practices for which there remains insufficient evidence or no consensus regarding efficacy. The CDC has a number of important advisory committees. We've already mentioned HICPAC, which publishes infection prevention guidelines that are applied to appropriate settings. Although many consider their recommendations to be standard setting, the recommendations are not regulatory nor are they enforced as regulatory standards. However, many accrediting agencies base their enforcement activity on these gold standard guidelines. Other advisory committees important to infection prevention and control programs are the Advisory Council for the Elimination of Tuberculosis, ACET, which is closely related to tuberculosis prevention guidelines, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, which is responsible for the testing and approval of all respirators used in the United States in occupational settings, and the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP, which issues guidance on vaccines. National Institute for Occupational and Safety Health. The National Institute for Occupational and Safety Health, NIOSH, is a key division of the CDC. It was established by the 1970 Occupational Safety and Health Act. NIOSH conducts research on occupational hazards, provides technical assistance and recommendations to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, and participates in the training of occupational safety and health experts. However, its charge is based on a premise of determining zero risk of exposure without being compelled to determine the cost/benefit aspects of required interventions. Enforcement agencies such as OSHA may accept or reject recommendations from NIOSH. NIOSH has had a major impact on developing personal protective equipment guidance, including respiratory protection. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, was established by the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, in 1977 and is responsible for oversight and reimbursement monitoring of the Medicare and Medicaid programs. Its regional offices maintain close working relationships with state health departments for enforcement activity. CMS maintains independent standards for infection prevention in hospitals, long-term care facilities, and home care facilities/agencies and enforces compliance with these as conditions for certification and participation, COP, in Medicare and Medicaid programs. The infection control interpretive guidelines for each setting undergo periodic review, and APIC works with CMS to provide input for hospitals, long-term acute care hospitals, LTACs, long-term care, ambulatory surgery centers, ASCs, and home health services. Relevant concepts for the LTC environment are as follows. Construction. Physical plant construction codes/standards and environmental standards have been revised, with new requirements for infection prevention. HHS provides support for the development of the design and construction guidelines used by most states and published by the Facility Guidelines Institute, FGI, and the American Society of Healthcare Engineering of the American Hospital Association. Hospital construction and costs are directly related to the charge of CMS's mission. Although CMS does not adopt the FGI guidelines as regulations per se, the agency does concur with the recommendations. Nearly every state adopts the FGI guidelines as a whole or may adapt them as a basis for their own state code. CMS enforces construction codes or the FGI guidelines through health department surveyors as agents of CMS for COP in Medicare and Medicaid. The guidelines have expanded requirements for a documented infection control risk assessment, ICRA. A basic ICRA was first published by the American Institute of Architects in 1996. The most recently updated version includes many issues beyond the determination of the needed number of airborne infection isolation rooms. ICRAs address both design and selection of materials as well as mitigation processes during construction or renovation. Medicare Quality Improvement Organizations, formerly known as state peer review organizations. Quality improvement organizations operate under contract with CMS to ensure that medical services provided to Medicare patients in hospitals and certain outpatient settings are medically necessary and appropriate and meet recognized standards of care. Their approach has been moving from individual performance to that of trending and outcome measurements in line with CMS requirements. These organizations are key for collaborative efforts in developing and publishing public performance measures. CMS Appendix PP. CMS issues guidance that is of particular importance to LTC facilities, called the State Operations Manual, Appendix PP, Guidance to Surveyors for Long-Term Care Facilities. Last revised in 2022, this document provides regulations and guidance in the following areas: definitions, F-540, resident rights, F-550-586, freedom from abuse, neglect, and exploitation, F-600-610, admission, transfer, and discharge rights, F-620-626, resident assessment, F-635-646, comprehensive person-centered care plans, F-655-661, quality of life, F-675-680, quality of care, F-684-700, physician services, F-710-715, nursing services, F-725-732, behavioral health services, F-740-745, pharmacy services, F-755-761, laboratory, radiology, and other diagnostic services, F-770-779, dental services, F-790-791, food and nutrition services, F-800-814, specialized rehabilitative services, F-825-826, administration, F-835-851, quality assurance and performance improvement, F-865-868, infection control, F-880-887, compliance and ethics program, F-895, physical environment, F-906-926, training requirements, F-940-949. Each of the above categories is further broken down to identify compliance assessment areas, each of which is identified by an F tag. The relevant F tags have been added to the list above in parentheses. These are used when conducting CMS-required surveys to identify deficiencies based on an LTC facility's performance. For example, the infection control category includes the following subcategories, which would be assessed during a CMS survey: existence and management of an antibiotic stewardship program, F-881. Administration of influenza and pneumococcal immunizations to residents, F-883. The CMS regulatory categories were revised in 2022, and the infection control category received two additions: COVID-19 resident and staff testing, F-886, and COVID-19 immunization, F-887. Occupational Safety and Health Administration. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, is a division of the U.S. Department of Labor. Its programs are administered under the jurisdiction of the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Act, OSH Act, of 1970 and through approved state plans. Basic to OSHA's activity is the General Duty Clause of the OSH Act, which states that an employer is responsible for providing a workplace free of occupational hazards. Specific standards are developed according to identified hazards, and compliance documents are developed to interpret the standards. State-level OSHA plans may have additional requirements beyond the federal requirements. Important OSHA standards include the Bloodborne Pathogen Standard and the Respiratory Protection Standard. Bloodborne Pathogen Standard. The Bloodborne Pathogen Standard of 1991 was the first to specifically address infection-related activity. In 2001, OSHA published a revision to the standard. The new requirements contained an expanded definition of engineering control to include devices with engineered sharps injury protection and needleless systems. Exposure control plans that reflect changes in technology that reduce exposure to bloodborne pathogens and document the consideration, at least annually, of devices to minimize occupational exposure. Solicitation of input from non-managerial, that is frontline, healthcare personnel for the identification, evaluation, and selection of devices and other controls that is documented in the exposure control plan. Maintenance of a sharps injury log of percutaneous injuries with information on the type and brand of device involved, the department where the incident occurred, and an explanation of how the injury occurred. Respiratory Protection Standard. OSHA's revised Respiratory Protection Standard went into effect in 1998. Establishments' respiratory protection programs for tuberculosis were required to adapt to comply with the requirements of the standard effective July 2, 2004. The major change was to require annual fit testing in addition to the initial fit testing already underway in healthcare settings, including long-term care facilities. OSHA resumed enforcement of this change in 2008. Compliance inspection. OSHA conducts inspections of healthcare facilities on a predetermined schedule and in response to a serious hazard or an employee complaint. Recently, the agency has developed a targeted approach, focusing on injuries of high frequency and seriousness in specific industries. In those regions with state-level OSHA plans, implementation of the OSHA Act may be under the jurisdiction of different agencies within the state. Standards developed within states and compliance with those standards must be at least as effective as the federal OSHA standards and compliance. Many states adopt the specific federal standards by reference. Occupational illness/injury logs. OSHA issues regulations to protect healthcare personnel from occupational illness and injury. Among other protections, regulations require that workplaces maintain records of occupation-related illnesses and injuries. Other recent standards have addressed hazard, chemical exposure, communications, and ergonomics. Food and Drug Administration. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, develops, implements, monitors, and enforces standards for food safety as well as the safety, effectiveness, and labeling of drugs and biologics, including blood and blood products, medical and radiological devices, antimicrobial products, and chemical germicides used in conjunction with medical devices. This includes personal protective equipment, PPE. Some confusion among agencies with overlapping jurisdictions for chemicals, the FDA, the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, and OSHA was addressed through memoranda of understanding related to enforcement concerns. Historically, the EPA was the organization in the federal government that registered new chemical sterilants. Approximately 40 formulations were approved in the United States. Following the agreement between the EPA and the FDA that sterilants and high-level disinfectants intended for use on medical devices would be the responsibility of the FDA required all such products to be cleared by the 510K process. As a result, there are fewer formulations on the market. The FDA enforces final regulations governing reuse of single-use devices, leading to hospitals' almost exclusive use of third-party reprocessing companies that must follow specific criteria from the FDA. Long-term care facilities are required to use EPA-registered cleaning and disinfection products on environmental surfaces and devices, in accordance with manufacturer's instructions for use. Specific areas of importance that the FDA currently issues regulations for include blood safety. The FDA is responsible for the safety of the nation's blood supply. It has standards for the collection, testing, and distribution of blood as well as disposal of contaminated or untested blood. These standards apply to all facilities that have blood banking operations. The standards are undergoing comprehensive revision. Chemical germicides. The FDA regulates chemical germicides that are formulated as antiseptics, preservatives, or drugs to be used on or in the human body or as preparations to be used to inhibit microorganisms on the skin. Based on data voluntarily provided by the manufacturer, Chemical germicides are divided into three categories. Category I, safe and effective. Category 2, not safe or efficacious. And Category 2I, insufficient data to categorize. Chemical germicides, when used in conjunction with specific medical devices, may also require FDA approval. Medical Device Act and Safe Medical Device Act. The Medical Device Act of 1974 required the classification of medical devices according to their potential to cause harm. The Safe Medical Device Act, SMDA, of 1990 expanded the FDA's authority in this area by improving incident reporting, removing defective or dangerous devices in a timely manner, and ensuring that only safe and effective devices enter the marketplace.